Well, I trust that you all had a great Christmas and hope that you did. Jen and I got to spend a couple weeks with her parents and then my parents. And I always like to say that over the holiday season, calories don't count. You know, and I also say that on Sundays, you know, Sunday brunch, those calories don't count. They don't really even exist in my mind. But then again, most of the time during the year, calories don't really exist. So I don't really think that can be a diet yet. Just wait. So as we're kind of on the cusp of the new year, right? It's in a couple days we'll be entering into 2013. A lot of people didn't think we would be here. I won't even go into that anymore. So today, I want to talk about resolutions and specifically focusing on the new year. And a lot of times as we reflect on the past year, we often focus on both good and bad. And we like to remember, you know, the exciting things that happened in the past year and the things that have gone well, but we also focus on the things that could have gone better, the things that we would have liked to seen succeed or that sort of thing. And so here are the top five New Year's resolutions for 2012. And this is from the Huffington Post. It says, number five is that people say their resolution is to volunteer more. Number four is that their resolution is to quit smoking. Number three is to save money. Number two is to eat right and eat better. I never finished that one more than a week. And then the number one is to get in shape, to exercise more, right? To go to the gym, to do all that sort of thing. So it's a statistic from Statistic Brain says that just over 60% of Americans will make a resolution commitment for the new year. And out of all the people who make those resolutions, only about 8% of those people will actually achieve their resolution over the entire year. So for those of you who in the past have made a resolution and kept it for the whole year, congratulations, because you are few and far between. Now, for the rest of us, and yes, I include myself in this, who maybe struggle to keep up that resolution the whole year, we can at least take a little pride because according to these statistics, the people who make a definitive resolution are 10 times more likely to achieve their goals than someone who just kind of, you know, doesn't necessarily make a New Year's commitment. You know what I mean? So 10 times more likely. So we can take a little pride in that, even if we don't always come through. So because of that, I mean, there are some great things about making a resolution. There's definitely an importance there that we need to recognize, but the question we need to ask ourselves is what changes are we expecting from those resolutions? Why are we making them? What is the point of it? As we approach the new year, we are kind of waiting in a sense to see what will come of it. It's a time when we can decide to change something in our lives for the better and a time for us to support each other in those resolutions. But I'm here to tell you this morning that while resolutions and changes that we can make in our lives are often good ones, we can make great changes, those changes are not eternal. The changes that we make in our lives can be erased often just as easily, if not easier, than they were achieved. But the changes that we experience through Jesus Christ are eternal. They last forever. And because the changes he makes are eternal, we can call them transformation. Because Jesus does not merely change us, he transforms us. Amen? So this morning we're going to find out what it means to be transformed by Christ and how that transformation can actually help us to meet those goals that we have for our life. So the first thing that we need to focus on is the fact that we are a new creation. If you would turn in your Bibles, we're gonna take a look at a couple different passages. The first is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And I do apologize for not having the YouVersion or the PowerPoint. I'm not quite as tech savvy as Pastor Steve, so that's something I'm going to need to work on. But so 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. For a lot of you, if you're using the Pew Bible, it's around page 819. And then also put your thumb in Galatians 2:20. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that person is a new creation. The old has gone, the new is here. All this from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor, I heard you. And in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Once we have made a commitment to Christ, once we have accepted his love and mercy, we are no longer the same. His word tells us that. We are a new creation at that point because we are no longer under the penalty of sin. Christ's atonement causes us to be a new creation because we are no longer a slave to sin from that. And not only that, but at that moment that we accept his love and mercy and we accept his grace into our lives, we are now Christ's ambassadors. We become his ambassadors as soon as that happens. And we are then his witnesses. We're the ones who will proclaim the message of his reconciliation. It's our duty as soon as that happens to be able to explain that, to be able to proclaim that to people. We are charged as soon as we are accepted into God's grace to be a witness to that. To be a witness to that transformation that's happened in our lives. To proclaim the fact that we're no longer responsible for our sin because Christ atoned for it. And in the same way that it happened in our lives, it can happen in yours. That is the charge that is given to us. And that final part of 2 Corinthians is kind of a warning. And it tells us that we don't have time to mess around. In a sense, we don't have time to play games, because the longer we play games, the more we run from God and play this running game with him, whether for whatever reason it is, whether it's we're scared of the changes that he's going to make. We're afraid of our past, whatever is keeping us from accepting that grace that is so freely offered to us. The longer we do that, the less time we have to be those ambassadors and witnesses for Christ. So it's kind of a charge to us that we need to realize that the time for God's favor, for God's salvation is now. Why put off today what you can or why put off for tomorrow what you can have today? Why put off that grace from the creator of the universe when you can have it right now and have it to the fullest? Why put that transformation off? Why put that change off in your life? Um, We'll read from Galatians 2:20 and see how the way we live is transformed by Christ. Galatians 2:20 reads, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Let me read that one more time. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God. As Christians, we are called to live in the world, but to abstain from its standards and expectations. And so first, we're made a new creation right off the bat. We are forgiven from sin. God, Jesus transforms us into a new creation because we don't have to follow, you know, that sinful progression anymore. We don't have to be slaves to it. We are transformed on the spot. And then another transformation happens when we're living out, when we're living our lives. Something needs to be different. If we're the same person as we were before Christ and we're the same person after, and there's no difference, there's a problem there. I think I can say that safely and boldly. There's a problem if you have not been transformed by Christ after accepting him. Because a call or Christ's call in our lives demands transformation. It means transformation. Having Christ in our life, we cannot help but be transformed if we are giving our lives to him and if we are truly surrendering. Isaiah 43 verse 18 through 19 says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness. Sometimes we can feel as if it is up to us to be better servants, to do the right thing, or to make the right decisions. But the fact is that we could never do all of those things on our own. If we were unable to make the right decisions and do the right things and live apart from sin and live in right standing before Christ, what makes us think that we can do it on our own after Christ? What makes us think that we can transform our lives on our own when we couldn't do it before we knew Christ, before we gave our lives to him? There needs to be transformation. That transformation needs to be lived out in our lives. But it's not our doing. We cannot do it on our own. That transformation that is lived out is not our own work. It's the work of Christ. And so we are also transformed in the way that we think and feel. Turn in your Bibles to Romans 12, 1 through 2. This is our kind of marquee passage this morning. And I want us to focus on this passage and really be able to grasp what it's telling us this morning about transformation. Romans 12, 1 through 2 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to attest and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I want to focus real quick on a word in this passage, and that is mind. The word mind right here in Romans 12. The word mind here, it comes from the Greek word naos. Can you say that with me? Naos. Naos. The Greek word naos. This word was basically... I don't think we can have a word that is as complete as this word is in Greek. And I don't know how they only had one word for all these different things. But this word referred to so many different avenues in parts of our mind. At times, it's hard to wrap our mind around the word mind, no pun intended, right? What is the transformation of our mind? Well, if we look at the definitions that this Greek word had, it referred to our personality. It referred to our opinions. It referred to our thoughts. It referred to our intellect. It referred to our perceptions. It referred to so many things that control and kind of shape who we are. And so if we're reading it with that in mind, it says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, of your intellect, of all those avenues in which we need to be renewed, or need to be renewed, that so that we are transformed. Sometimes for us, the hardest battle to win is the one going on in our own minds. As Christians, it can be pretty easy for us to learn the lingo. We can talk the talk after a while, but if we don't allow Christ to transform us, we won't be able to walk the walk. Like I said, we cannot hope to live a transformed life without allowing Christ to transform it. We need to learn to control our minds. We need to start winning that battle. And when we do, we do that by focusing on God. We can't be transformed if our attention is focused elsewhere. This word transformed in Romans 12, I think too often we look at it and say, well, we need to be transformed. We need to transform our lives to live more like Christ, to live so that we can know God's will. We need to transform our minds, right, and be renewed. But when we look at, again, when we look at the Greek in the tense of this verse, we see that it's a version of a present tense verb that continues on over time. It's a continual present tense. There is no end in sight, is basically the way the tense is used. And not only that, but it's passive. Indicating what? Indicating that the transformation is happening to us. We are not in control of the transformation. We cannot control the transformation of our mind. We have to rely on Christ for that. So when we learn to control our minds, though, we can control our minds to an extent, right? We can a little bit help what we think, right? We can learn and that sort of thing. There's an avenue of control. And the biggest avenue that we need to focus on the control of is our focus. We need to be able to focus on Christ so that He is able to transform our mind and renew it. Because we said what? That a life in Christ has to be transformed. Our minds have to be completely different than the way we started. That after and before and after Christ are two different people. I mean, I'm Aaron Florian before Christ and I'm Aaron Florian after Christ. But other than that, my demeanor might be a little bit different. The way I think should be different. My thoughts, my attitudes, my perceptions should be different because they should be focused on Christ who is transforming them and conforming them to His will so that I can know His will and be in His will. Because when we're seeking God's will, He's going to transform our lives. He's going to do that. We've already seen this year how God has transformed our community, transformed our lives. We've seen healing within the church. Most recently, we started a program to give presents to children and families that were in New York. That was our plan. We started out that way, but God took our plans and transformed it, right? And all of a sudden, we're not just sending, you know, a couple boxes full of toys. We're sending a 52-foot trailer of supplies, of hope, of love, of peace, of joy to people who are desperately in need of it. And we're just coming out of this Advent season where we're focused on these central themes. And part of the reason is because these are transformative themes. When we are able to focus on the hope that God gives, the love that God gives, the joy that God gives, and the peace that God gives, we can't help but be a different person afterwards. Amen? We can't help but be transformed by God's love, by God's peace, by God's joy, and by God's hope. Those are transformative things, gifts that He gives to us. And the point is that we are witnesses. We are new creation witnesses right on the spot. And our job is to proclaim that I am different because of God's hope. I'm different because of God's love. I'm different because of His joy, and I'm different because of His peace. Amen. And as we come into this new year, we want to focus on the fact that the year needs transformation. God wants to transform 2013. He wants to transform what happens in 2013. He wants to be in control of it. He wants to do through us what we couldn't possibly hope to do ourselves. He wants to transform our efforts into things that will just echo and proclaim His glory without even needing us to, because they are so great and so far beyond what we could ever plan for ourselves. If Pastor would have come up here and said, we need to fill a 52-foot trailer right off the bat, we would have been like, no. But the fact that God gave us that opportunity, God transformed that, and God filled it, is only to His glory. And so maybe if we're struggling with this idea of transformation and how we transform our mind and how we transform our lives, or how we allow God to, rather, maybe we need to start asking tougher questions of ourselves. Like, God, what should I be thinking about this? Or do I know what Your word tells me about this? Do I know what Your will would be in this situation? Do my feelings and my thoughts and my attitudes differ from Yours and what You would have me think? And if so, why? God desires to transform your life. And what better way to do it than making a resolution of transformation for this new year? Than making a resolution that we would allow God to transform our lives so that our lives are changed forever, that they're changed eternally, that what God does cannot be erased just as easily as it was created. When Jesus makes a transformation, it's eternal, it's done. We cannot alter it, we cannot change it, because it is by His hand. There's no problem with setting reachable short-term goals for ourselves. Even the top five resolutions are great things to do, but only if they are done for the right reasons. If we're chasing after these resolutions as a feeble attempt on our own part to control our lives through these temporary changes, then we're missing out on the true transformation that God could be making in us. All the volunteering in the world won't give us self-worth. It won't give us satisfaction. It won't give us those things that God can give us through allowing us to see the world through His eyes, through serving reaching and doing God's will. Only reaching and trying to achieve God's will allow us to be satisfied. Everything else will just be a temporary fix. It'll just be this rat race of us perpetually trying to catch up and perpetually trying to prove our worth, when our worth is in Christ, and it's satisfied through the plans that He has in our own lives. Quitting habits that are dangerous to us sometimes seem as though we can do it on our own. And it's true because plenty of people every year quit smoking, kick addictions, and including alcohol and drugs and whatever. They do that having never set foot inside a church. People do it every year. But the difference is that they will never know the victory that is found through allowing God to conquer it for us. There is victory there, and there's a vast difference. A vast difference in allowing yourself to be free of something and just maybe in remission. And if we think that we can ever save enough money through our own efforts, we'll never know true peace. Because only our God can provide when it seems impossible. We can never save enough money. Because when we save money, that money can easily be spent. And as soon as it's spent, it's gone. It's gone forever. But if our faith is not in the money, in the way that we can save money, and in our own finances, and in the way that we control our finances, if our faith is the one who provides that for us, we'll never run dry because He will always provide for us. His Word tells us that. His Word promises that to us. See, while resolutions are great motivators, often they're poor substitutes for change when compared to the transformative power that we experience through Christ. Those, don't hear me say that it's bad to make resolutions, because it's not. But we need to understand that those changes that we make do not even come close to comparing to the transformative changes that Christ wants to make in us. And so maybe this year, instead of you can make your resolutions of, you know, go to the gym more, eat a little healthier, that sort of thing. Make those resolutions, set those goals for yourself, but ask God, Lord, what way do you want to transform me in 2013? What way do you want to transform my family in 2013? What way do you want to transform Trinity Church of the Nazarene in 2013? What way do you want to transform our world in 2013? And what part do I have in that? So as we approach this new year, let's remember the transformation that God has already done in us and in our church and in our community. And let's look forward to those things He has yet ahead of us this year. Stand with me as I pray a benediction upon us. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come before You praising You and thanking You for everything You've done so far this year. And we pray, Lord, right now that as we transfer, as we move into this year coming, Lord, that You would continue to transform our lives, that You would continue to transform our families, Lord, and that You would do so in a progression that just continues to lead closer and closer to You, Lord. That as we look back when 2013 is over, we can say, Lord, You brought me closer. You transformed me more in 2013 than You did in 2012, Lord. That after this year, we can faithfully say that we submitted to what You wanted to do in us and in our church and in our families and in our community, Lord. And I pray that whatever efforts that we have towards Your will this year, Lord, would only be transformed and magnified by You. That as we seek to spread Your hope, love, joy, and peace to people around us, that it would transform them. And that our efforts would be multiplied and just magnified. So that when we're finished, there will be no shadow of a doubt that You were in it. And that Lord, You achieved more through Your power and Your grace than we could ever achieve for ourselves, Lord. And so right now, I pray Your love and mercy goes upon us. That as we leave here, Lord, we would leave with Your joy and Your peace. And that we'd be able to spread it to those among us and in our community and our families. And Lord, as we transition into this new year, we pray that you would show us a vision, that you would show us your will for how you want to transform us in the upcoming year. And we pray all this in your Son's precious name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.